Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name is Taylor and today I'm joined by a runner who is part of a community of runners that she said changed her life and changed her running journey for the better. We broke down her five marathon experiences from weather and injury to a canceled race that she completely ran alone. She's had quite the marathon journey so far. There's a lot to talk about over her 15 years of running, so let's jump right in. Without further ado, please welcome Ellie. Ellie, thank you so much for coming on this weekend. How's the weekend treated you so far?
Gorgeous outside down here in Georgia. It's getting to be a little hot, you know, just doing our regular grocery run and getting ready for the rest of the week. What about you?
Got to get it done early this time of year. It's like Georgia, I'm in North Carolina, so I feel like it's pretty similar. It's like you're starting to creep out of the nice running season and into the humidity and having to do things super early. So
absolutely.
But today's rest day for me. So I'm filming a couple podcast episodes and just chilling. So can't Perfect. Complain. Awesome. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me today. I'm excited to break down your journey. We just talked about it a little bit, but you've got five marathons under your belt and quite a few half marathons. So I guess just kind of starting from the beginning, how did you get introduced to the running world in the first place?
Yeah, totally. For me, it was, I mean, I know when you asked for a number, I was like, oh, I have to come back. I was sometime in junior high or high school when my friend was like, hey, we should join this thing called cross country. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. And she was like, yeah. Oh, we'll like go for runs. And she tried to talk me into it, like for the summer runs. I was like, sure, okay. So I went with her and then I never left. I was a cross country and track girl. And then, you know, that was all throughout high school. And then, you know, in college, I just kind of stayed on it, but with just little 5Ks here and there, just running for fun, reducing some stress and everything. And it just, I guess it just kept growing over the years. Every time I hit another milestone, I was like, hey, I could do the next race, the next higher mileage race. And it just kept growing, kept meeting other people that like to run for fun. I know we're all a little crazy, so yeah, totally. Have something in common.
Yeah.
And it just kind of grew from a friend telling me what cross country was to running marathons for fun, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And you know, I know what cross country is, but I'm not familiar with like the types of distances you get into in that sport. So what were you running when you were running cross country?
Yeah, for us, back in the day now, apparently, but I know things have actually changed since. And I know it was also a little different state by state and area by area, but the girls would run a 4K and the guys would run a 5K. And that was every single race. However, once I was then introduced into track and they were like, oh, you can get better if you train in the spring at track and you can get faster at cross country. So I was kind of introduced to some of the other coaches. You know, my cross country coach was the long distance track coach, but I kind of had enough of her, you know, and, the mid distance coach kind of reeled me in. And so for track, I actually ran the 400 and the 800, which ended up helping me, you know, learn what speed was and how to do speed work and kind of focus on that in the spring, building up that speed and then getting that together once the fall came back for cross country and getting those, you know, quote unquote long distances, the 4K, a little bit faster every year. So
yeah, that's actually really cool because a lot of the people I talk to that are like, they didn't start running in high school or college or anything like that. Like speed work comes so much later. It's you usually are building the distance and then working on speed. So it's cool that you like had a foundation of speed to start and then you could work on distance. I think that's unique.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that was such a different thing once it was, you know, found out what cross country was and then it was track and all these people are running so fast and it's just such a different territory. And I actually grew up in Minnesota. And so when it was the winter and it was snow and cold, our track coach would bring us inside the school hallways after school to do speed work too. And then try Jeez. To get us on those speed workouts a little earlier than the spring too. So it was a little bit all year round, which is awesome.
Totally. Yeah, that's really cool. So then it kind of transitioned. You said you were kind of just maintaining what you had built all through college. When did like the concept of racing this sport come up for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely always took the local 5Ks, the fun runs and everything. I took those pretty literally and always had fun with them. We would always dress up for the holiday ones. I went to North Dakota State University in Fargo, North Dakota. And so we'd always have, you know, a homecoming 5K that we'd always try to go all out on to win the Spirit Award or whatever. We'd cover ourselves in glitter. My college roommate, Lindsay, and I, she's one of our below average running ambassadors now too. And so it's really cool that we've gotten to kind of grow together in running. But I just remember it was either my sophomore or junior year of college. And I was like, they have the Fargo Marathon. Like, I think I can run a half marathon. Like 13 miles sounded crazy after doing a couple of like 5Ks and 10Ks. And I was like, this is going to be like the coolest thing I've ever done, you know? And the Fargo Marathon was is a pretty big race for the area. And so, it must have been, it's either sophomore or junior year of college. I can't remember. I signed up for it. And ended up ultimately, super unfortunately, since my very first half marathon, I had not a clue what I was doing with training. And ultimately, I injured myself and I couldn't run the race. So that was tough. And then after that, round two, I waited for the next year and I did it right that time. And so it was the next year that I was able to run my very first half marathon. So I was in college, and then, I ran a couple. There were two different ones in Fargo that were spread out enough that I could do both. So I ran both of those a couple of times. And then I kind of just took off from there, doing a bunch of them wherever I was living. I've lived everywhere. So it's been really fun to kind of explore where I'm living via signing up for a half marathon or a race. Yeah.
I know a lot of people that will do like destination races is their thing. They want to do a half marathon in every state or something like that. I always think that that's such a cool goal. And like you said, like a cool way to get to know your state or your city when you're moving around quite a bit too. Cool. So, I mean, when you experienced that first injury, like looking back on it, what did you do in training that maybe contributed to it? Was it just overuse or like something other than that?
Yeah, I think, it was definitely overuse. I don't think I was probably in the right shoes. I think it was just a little bit of everything, overtraining, you know, all of the things that we have no idea about when you're just like, I'm going to be a runner, a real runner, and do these big races. And you just, a half marathon is so different than cross country running a 4K. And my coach, you know, told us to get these shoes for that. But, you know, there's different things, and it's a totally different ballpark when it's so much longer of a distance. And I didn't think it was, but you know, I learned pretty quickly. So definitely just pretty much everything you could do wrong, I probably did wrong. I don't think I was really fueling very well, stretching, you know, anything like that. So it was a little bit of everything.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's a lot of trial and error in the beginning for sure. I'm glad that you got to go back and run the same race too. That's great that you kind of like got a do-over the next year.
Totally. I remember going out that year I was injured. I had a boot on and everything, and I went and watched everyone run it. And I was like, man, like, really messed up. Yeah. This looks so fun.
But that's great that you got to go back the next year. Then you can kind of like close the chapter on your first marathon or first half marathon. You got it out of the way. So then from there, since you have so many half marathons under your belt since then, like what, with that distance specifically, what have you changed or what really works for you that's made it a successful half marathon now?
That's a great question. You know, I think over the years and over the races, I honestly, it sounds kind of funny, but I just stopped taking it so seriously. And I haven't since college. I mean, my PR is pretty old and I'm not sure I'll ever beat it, but you know, I've just kind of done them more for the fun and for the race environment and meeting friends and, you know, expanding brands and things like that. And just, I mean, it's been such a difference, I think, since when I started and was taking it so seriously. Not that it's bad to take them seriously. I kind of hope that one day maybe I'll actually try for a certain time again. But I mean, I feel like the last chunk of them have just been, hey, want to run this half marathon? Or, I mean, helping somebody else out, trying to get a PR for them that might be a little, you know, a slower of a pace for me. So I'm able to do that for them, or, you know, just being there to carry the stuff. It's kind of how I got my nickname of Pack Mule from Nicole with below average running, and it's stuck ever since. I always wear the hydration vest, and it's chock full of everything you could ever need in a race. And so that's been, you know, kind of, I think what works for me right now is just, I mean, it's not taking it so seriously, slowing down a lot and just enjoying it, and spending time with people and hanging out, and again, just exploring whatever city I'm in, running whatever race I'm running.
I think that's great. I think it doesn't always have to be so serious. Like I talk to, that's what's been cool about talking to runners like yourself on this podcast, is everybody's goals are so different. Some people are really gunning for like a Boston qualifying time, and that's their whole life mission. And once they complete that, it's done. And then there's people that are like, yeah, I'm going to run all my local marathons in my area, and that's what I like to do. So I think that's great. So when did the distance transition for you from half marathon to marathon? When did you make that jump?
My first marathon was the Twin Cities Marathon in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, in 2019. They run that in the fall, in October. And it was, again, my college roommate, Lindsay. We ran all of our fun 5Ks and a few fun half marathons here and there. And I remember we have a screenshot of us on FaceTime signing up together.
We both had
like a drink in hand. We're like, are we really doing this? Like signing up for a full marathon. I remember being at the finish line of every half marathon being like, there's no way I could do that again. Like a second half marathon right after you ran a half marathon. And it was kind of nice. I was actually living at my cabin in Wisconsin, not too far from the Twin Cities, but Lindsay and I kind of train together virtually. We would like to share with each other what run we had on deck that week or the next day, or just stats from our runs, and kind of did things similarly throughout that process. We also signed up, I think, for a half marathon that would line up with our training. So one of the times we were supposed to run around 13 miles, we just signed up for a race that was kind of a couple hours from me, a couple hours from her. And ran that, and then so it was 2019 was the kicker.
That's cool. And it's cool that you had somebody to go through training with too for your first one. Like, had she ran marathons prior, or that was her first one too?
No, that was both of our first marathons, so it was a big deal, and very scary for us to do, but super cool that it was, you know, not physically together, but someone that you could lean on when you're like, man, I've never ran this far. I've never ran this far. Every week, you know, it's that next milestone, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm nervous to run my first 16 miler. And she's like, well, I just ran mine yesterday. It's like, this is what happened for me. And just kind of just leaning on each other and getting ourselves through the process of that first full marathon.
Yeah, I'm sure that helped a lot. Like, I think that's what a lot of people say they struggle with in the beginning when they're training for their first one, is like not having somebody to bounce ideas off and the whole thing being unknown. And so I think that it was probably pretty helpful to have somebody that was going through it at the same time.
I was definitely, you know, I don't know if I could have done it alone, that's for sure. It was just a scary unknown time. So
for sure. Were you guys following some sort of like training plan together, like that you had found some sort of resource that you were following, or more you guys put it together yourself?
Lindsay had found one through something else, and I was kind of, you know, following what she had found, and I also was kind of tying in, again, you know, you don't know what you're doing for your first full marathon. You're like,
right,
full marathon training plans, you know, you have no idea. And at that time, I was really liking the Nike Run app. And so I think I was following very loosely a plan that they had on there, and then doing some of their guided runs were, you know, that was really helpful for some of those, again, just milestone runs or just things that, you know, we're unknown at that point in training. Yeah. And so, I don't think I was actually following something that was like to a T, which is probably not the best idea, but I again, I've learned from then, but
yeah, yeah,
but yeah, just kind of bouncing off of each other, you know, how many miles you're running this week, what's your long run, and you know, how many, what mileage is in your middle of the week, things like that. So
yeah, yeah. And through training, like when you would have, or I guess I'll ask first, when did you feel like you felt really strong through training? And then were there any points where you were like, I don't know if I can do this thing. This is quite the thing I signed up for.
Yeah, I that training block felt really good. I just looking back and thinking back, it was, you know, I graduated college in 2018, so it was just outside of college. I arguably was in probably one of the best shapes of my life at that point. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, looking back at some of my stats on some of my running apps, I'm like, oh man, who is that? I cannot run those paces anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just, I think it just, that time in my life was, everything just worked out so well. Again, I was living at my cabin. I was doing just like bartending jobs and such. And so I had the timing and the scheduling was fine. I mean, like running around lakes in Wisconsin is, you know, it's never going to get old.
Yeah.
It was just gorgeous weather. I mean, it wasn't anything too bad. I do remember though, some of the bads were, you know, I have a, you know, 17 miler on deck and, you know, I only have, this is the morning that I have it scheduled right. for. Like, it's tough to move stuff around when you have a training plan scheduled. And it happened to me a couple of times. There are two very standout times, and I believe they're either both 17 or 18 miles or something like that. And it was like huge storms rolling through.
Mm.
And I remember having to break them up. One of them, I was pretty far away from home. I'd like to do like out and back, so like out and like around a lake and back.
Yeah.
And so I was pretty far away from home, and I remember having to like retreat under a friend's cabin's like overhang.
Oh,
I was like, I don't know how long I'm gonna have to hang out here, but that's lightning, and I
yeah,
you know, I'm running through like an open field on my way home. And so it was just like things like that got, oh man. I mean, I just remember being like, I can't believe that I'm doing this right now. Like, this is crazy. This is
yeah.
a crazy person that's doing this. So stuff yeah. like that. And then just sometimes having to make time. I just remember looking back and, you know, having things like an opening shift at the bar or something that's pretty early. And I have photos of my watches. I was like, oh, got in a quick half marathon before work at 8 a.m. I was like, what? What am I doing? Like,
she? Yes.
I know. I'm like, that's crazy. So, I mean, I guess it worked back then. I felt like, even though it wasn't that long ago, I feel like she had a lot more energy than I do now. So.
Sure. Well, it sounds like the cards were kind of like aligned for you at that time. You were just out yeah. of college. Like, you had a job yeah. that maybe wasn't so strict in terms of like when you had to work. And other than the weather, it seems like that wasn't really a factor. It wasn't crazy hot, like I'm sure you face now in living in Georgia.
Yeah.
So yeah, it seems like it was pretty all in line for your first one.
Absolutely. I do. I remember that, obviously. I feel like it should be, maybe, but my very first 20-mile run,
yeah,
picked a pretty brutal day. It was one of the warmest days I could have picked, super warm, mm-hmm. super humid. And I remember those last few miles trying to come back, and I like ran out of water, and
oh,
I was like,
shoot.
I am dying. Like, I just had like a very short amount. I think it was like 3 miles to go. And I was like, I don't know if I could finish this run.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily I was able to get back, swing back home, grab like a little bit of water. I literally had like a mile left. And then finish it. And I was like, I can't believe I just ran 20 miles. Like,
yeah.
It was crazy. But, you know, yeah, it was good. I don't really have much complaints about that specific training block. For somebody who didn't know what they were doing, it actually went pretty well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And that 20-mile run, when you were feeling like, man, I don't know if I've got these last 3 miles in me, or just like kind of crawling through the end there. Like, was that a hit on confidence for race day? Or did you feel like, okay, I did that, so I'll be able to figure out the last 10K on race day?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think I was like factoring in, you know, like, okay, it was really hot. I didn't fully plan for this. Like, I ran out of water and everything. You know, the race is typically historically cooler. There have been a a couple of crazy things that have happened with the Twin Cities Marathon, but I was like, well, it's going to be like October, you know, hopefully it'll be cooler. You know, just they say going up to 20 miles, you know, the rest is pretty much mental. So I was just trying to like lean into the trusting of other runners and trusting the process, trusting the training. And I mean, it worked enough. That first marathon, though, it didn't go the way I wanted it to. So it was just one of those. Like, everything went great up until the race.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, so I guess, let's break down race day. So what was the first marathon experience like for you?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I wish I would have been just great and healthy that day. I know we could have had an amazing race. Lindsay and I were just... We had great training the whole time. Like I said, everything was great. And I got super sick. Got super sick right before, probably a week or less before race day. And I was really nervous. Like, I really, like, was very sick. I couldn't really keep anything down. And I was getting nervous. I was like, I should be going on a couple of short runs, but I feel like maybe I should just rest instead. Yeah. And was really battling with that. Because I've been trying, you know, to follow a plan as much as I can this whole time. And now I'm like, I'm just not going to run for a week. Like, I know it's taper, but that's kind of crazy. But it just, you know, I was literally just taking cold medicine, taking baths, trying to get something in me. And I was, you know, okay, race day. But coming off of that was not ideal. You know, I hadn't been fueling my body properly and been getting enough water or electrolytes or anything in me. And I was just ultimately weak. It was just really unfortunate timing. So
yes.
I remember getting 10 miles into the race. We were feeling okay. And I kind of just went downhill from there. And I just remember being at mile 10 and being like, 16 more? Like, and I don't feel good now? Like, I was texting my mom. I was like, I can't do this. She's like, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I never really did it in training or really ever at all. And we just did kind of like a walk run when I needed to. Took advantage of awesome spectators that were handing stuff out, like Gatorade and pretzels, and just trying to figure out what am I missing here? Like, what am I lacking? And trying to get past that. And I just remember that was some of the hardest hours of my life. But, you know, having such a great friend like Lindsay being there, I'm like, she could have gone and had a really awesome race with a really awesome time. And she didn't. And she hung back with me and continued to have a good time. And, you know, just making sure I was okay that whole time when she could have gone and done her thing by herself on our very first marathon. But, you know, she stuck with me. And that was just, you know, something that was really eye-opening to me as far as the running community goes, and just friends that are going to be there for you in the running community. So
totally.
And ultimately it wasn't the worst thing ever. We came in a little after 5 hours. We were hoping for way under that at the time. We were way speedier than that. But yeah, I mean, it could have been worse. So it wasn't the end of the world, but you know, you can't really control being sick that much. So
yeah,
I knew I put in all like the time and the work and the hours and the miles. And so I, you know, just showed up and did what I could.
For sure. Yeah. That's so unfortunate. It's like, it's interesting. The more episodes of these I filmed, you'll be episode number 20. So there's out of 20, probably 6 people now have said I got sick right before race day. I wonder if there's something like to that, you know, like we put our bodies through so much the first time around that by the end we're just like, any sickness that kind of comes along the way, you're like vulnerable to. I don't know. It's just, it's interesting.
Hey, someone should do a study on it.
Right. Yeah. But that is great that your friend was like you said, she was able to kind of put her own goals to the side and say, you know what, this is our first marathon day. I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to see this out. And I'm maybe speaking for you, but I'm sure that like for both of you was still a cool experience to be able to start and finish together through training and then through race day as well.
Totally. I know. I mean, she would say it over and over again. I just remember telling her every mile, like, go ahead, you can do it. And she's like, no, like, we did this together. Like, this is us, you know, we did it all together. And so I was just like, man, what?
I love that.
It's so lucky to have really good friends and friends in the running community and everything. So
definitely. Well, cool. So I normally ask about the finish line feeling for your first marathon, but it sounds like that one, that finish line feeling was probably just like, that's done. That's behind me. Like, let's move on from this experience.
It was still an okay finish line. As far as finish lines go, I remember at the Twin Cities Marathon, you have this like long stretch. Mm-hmm. You can see it like for so long at the end. You kind of come up over this hill and you end. You know, they call it the Twin Cities. It's Minneapolis and St. Paul, but you mm-hmm. see the capital, and it's way all the way down the road. And I remember like just coming, seeing like the very top of it for the first time. And you still had a little while to go, but I just started crying. I was like, I like can't believe that we're at mile like 26 right now. Like, I can't believe it. And so there are photos of us like getting like, just doing our last few strides, and I'm like crying. I'm like trying to hold it together. Yeah. But it was awesome. Somebody came up to us. I don't know who they were with, and like interviewed us right after. And that video is hilarious too. We're just like, we can't believe we just did that. We're like crying. Still an okay finish line. So
okay, good. Yeah. I'm glad you got to like at least soak it in a little bit, even though you weren't maybe feeling the best. It didn't turn out the way like you at least got to feel the first experience. So that's great. Yeah. So for your for the next couple of days after, like when you were probably healing from being sick and things like that, were you thinking like of your next race day? What were you thinking was going to come up next for you at that point?
You know, I didn't really know. I think I definitely was trying to take all of it in, and ultimately I think I was like, I want to redeem myself, you know. I didn't know if I was going to want to do more or if that was mm-hmm. going to be like a one and done for me, but I was like, I at least want like a redo. I want to see what I can do, you know. Try not to be sick, you know, go through that again and then see what it's like not to be sick and do it, which, you know, as a runner, that's just code for you're not going to stop signing up for these.
Exactly.
That's, I guess, what happened to me. But yeah, I mean, I took a couple of years off between them, did a couple of halves in between. But yeah, just definitely pondered with that thought for a while. It's like, I know, at some point, I will find a race, sign up for it, and I'm going to redeem myself, you know, I'm going to have a better race. And I did, I eventually did. I want to say it's probably 2021, I think. And so a good couple of years in between there. Pondering my thoughts.
Just trying to decide if you want to put yourself through that again, probably.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, that was crazy, but I'm gonna do it again, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, there's just something about it, like it nags at you a little bit, especially if your first race day didn't go quite the way that you felt like it could. You're like, I have to, like, I owe it to myself to go back and try this thing again.
Exactly.
So cool. So I know you're involved with BAR. When did that come about in your life? Like, I assume that was in between the two marathons at some point.
Yeah. So, Nicole and I, we have this infamous comment on one of her TikToks, one of her very first TikToks she put out as Below Average Running. If you ask her, you know, it kind of started as like, not a joke, but like, I'm going to train for another half marathon. Like, people are using this TikTok thing now. I'm going to make some videos about it or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just so happened to come across my page. And this blonde girl that's going for runs, and she was showing her pets, and she's got rabbits. And so I commented and I was like, oh my gosh, like, are we the same person? Like, I run half marathons and I have a pet rabbit too, which is kind of a niche thing. You don't really hear a lot of people having rabbits. So, we have the screenshot of that comment. She always brings it up when somebody asks, you know, like how we met. And so that was, I mean, the kicker. And we eventually, you know, like started like DMing on Instagram over it, and then transformed into texting. And then, you know, our favorite story is she was like, hey, want to come down to Florida and, you know, run a half marathon with me? And like, I know you're faster than me, so like, maybe we could try to get me a PR. I was like, sure. And we always joke about it, how at the time, our boyfriends didn't know that we had never met before. I was literally flying to Florida and staying with her and her boyfriend, and I'm a complete stranger. Like, she met me on the internet. And so we always crack up about how we were like, yeah, I'm gonna go to my friend's. And so she just like picks me up from the airport, complete stranger, never met her before in my life. And she always says, every time the story comes up, that she went to bed that night and was like, she could kill me. I don't know. She always brings that up. Luckily, I'm not crazy, so that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, we ran the, that was, I guess, Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. It was the Fort Lauderdale Half Marathon. I mean, honestly, the rest is history. Again, I think that was the race that we kind of like deemed me pack mule, just because the paces she was running were a little easier for me, and so it wasn't as much work for me to carry the stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just the dynamic worked. Like, I could carry this stuff. I wasn't as tired because of the pace being way more comfortable for me, but it was getting her to a PR. And so it just like, hey, this works. Like, I get to run races. I made a friend. You know, it just worked. And then, I mean, that the rest is kind of history. And now we're absolute best friends. She's the maid of honor in my wedding coming up this summer.
I mean, seriously,
it's our favorite love story. So
I love it. That's so cool. I had no idea that that's how it all kind of came about. That's the story of how you guys met. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's kind of insane, but we think it's hilarious, and you know, we're pretty crazy, and our rabbits are quote unquote best friends over the phone. And they talk all the time. So yeah, we're a little crazy, but it works. But kind of been probably one of the best things that's, you know, ever happened to me, just meeting her and being a part of Beloved Running and helping her grow that and getting it to where it is now. And you know, now we're growing our Beloved Running run clubs, we call them Bar Run Club. And so I lead the Savannah Bar Run Club, and we're just popping up over a bunch of cities in the United States, and it's super fun. It's such a cool community to be a part of, and having you know, different ambassadors come through, and you know, just getting to meet all these people. And you know, we kind of decided weirdly after 1 year that the Dallas Marathon is like Bar's race, and so we all like are like, okay, everybody has to go to Dallas. Last year it was awesome, and so it's a great time to actually see everybody because we're all from, you know, everywhere.
All over. Yeah.
And so yeah, it's been super amazing to have this community.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's one of the only run clubs that I've kind of come across online that's so spread out, but you guys seem like such a tight-knit community of people. So it's really cool to see how quickly you guys are growing.
Absolutely. It's been just so cool. I know a lot of people that come to run club too are like, you know, other run clubs say they're inclusive of pace or like every pace, like whatever, but it's not really.
Right.
But you know, our whole goal is like, Below Average Running doesn't have to literally mean Below Average Running. Like, you can run whatever pace you want. You can be super fast, or you can be mostly walking. If you walk, run. We're hanging out no matter what. We just like to hang out and run and have fun and eat donuts. So
yeah, no, it's great. I love it. I think that's important to have that sort of run inclusivity. It's becoming more and more of a thing, which is really cool to see in the community, but it's great to have clubs like yourself that are preaching that and like inviting people to come by and challenge themselves. It's great.
Totally. Yeah.
Cool. Well, since you paced her, I'm just curious, like, what's different between racing and pacing somebody? And like, what do you like about each experience?
That's an awesome question. Like we spoke about, I think like at the very beginning, what's kind of changed throughout the years. I haven't like actually raced in a long time. We did race a 5K in April. That was actually, I mean, it was fast for me mm-hmm. too. And we're trying to get Nicole to beat her high school Nicole 5K time. It's me, Travis, and Nicole, and we were gassed. And it was such a different feeling. I seriously haven't raced any race in years. It's been all just, mostly pack muling and having fun. And I remember we were probably 0.3 miles in, and Travis leaned over me and said, you know, I like being below average running. And I was like, we were just giving it everything we could have ever given into that race. I mean, we trained for it as much as we could. It was out of our comfort zones for definitely all of us. But I mean, we blew it out of the water. It was awesome. It was a really good feeling. Entirely different though. I will say, I definitely right now in this time of my life, it's been a really great time to have the leverage running, be, you know, pack mule, and just have more fun than pain in the races. Where, you know, I'm still having to train for these long distances. You can't just jump in. But just, again, like we talked about at the beginning, it's just not as serious. You know, if I'm not checking my watch every 5 seconds to make sure I'm hitting a pace, and it's not so stressful right now. It's just fun, and it's been awesome. And so right now, you know, that has been, I think, just a really great time that I've had in my running career, per se. It's just kind of taking literally the last few years, quote unquote, break. And, you know, I would like to get back into it and see, can I get close to my PRs? I don't know. I haven't tried.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe next year or something. I keep telling people 2024 is kind of my break year. I'm getting married later this year, and
exciting.
It's been nice to not have races just looming over me. You've got 2 months till this race or whatever. Yeah. Literally just that 5K we raced. And then, you know, post-wedding, I'm like, anything post-wedding, that's different. There's been a couple there. They introduced a full marathon in Savannah with Milk. It's a women's marathon. And I was so tempted to sign up, and it was still just right in the back of my head. And I was you know what? I think I'm just going to not run a full marathon in 2024. I just want to chill. And so it's been nice to just, literally not have a schedule and be no thoughts in my head and be I think I'm gonna go run 3 miles just cause, or run 5 miles, you know, whatever, whatever my body wants to do or not do. I have a lot of rest days recently, which is great.
That is great. No, I think that you've been running for so long, like we talked about, this has been something you've been doing since literally high school. So it's probably nice to come in and out of these phases where it gets competitive and then it's really fun and then it gets competitive again. It's probably fun to navigate the running space that way.
Totally. Yeah. It's been just a breath of fresh air recently. Totally. So I'm super excited to get back into it. All these, you know, post-summer races are, you know, on my mind now, and I'm excited. Dallas is in December, so it's a good,
Oh, cool.
Very end of the year. And then Nicole wants to do Space Coast, so I'll probably do that. And just end of, November, December, keep those back over there and just
totally
chill for the rest of the time. And it's just been awesome to kind of take a, mini break from all races, whether it's actually racing or pacing or pack muling or whatever.
cool. Well, taking it back just a little bit here, we talked before we started filming a little bit about your second marathon. It was quite the unique experience compared to some of your other ones. So do you want to just kind of walk through that experience and what took place with the second one?
Sure. I took off a couple of years while I was pondering the, am I gonna run another marathon? And then I finally found one. I've been down in Georgia for many years now. And so it was a smaller local race. It was on Jekyll Island. So just a little south of me, down in Brunswick, Georgia. And I saw it online and it just kind of lined up at a good time of the year. It was in January, so not hot, which is good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was feeling good. I you know, I went through my training block. I was feeling good. I had mostly good runs. And just, yeah, I felt good, felt strong. It was going to be my first like solo marathon, you know, nobody's running it with me. And then just, you know, I've done bigger races, I've done smaller races, and this was a smaller race, but, you know, big enough to still have the crowd support. And then not to mention, I mean, the amazing, beautiful scenery that is coastal Georgia. And so I was just really excited about it. And, you know, unfortunately, the other thing that comes with coastal Georgia is a lot of storms and just unprecedented storms. It came out of nowhere. I remember getting the email. I was watching the weather, and you know, you watch the weather for like as many weeks as you possibly can before the race, and it was just like
10-day forecast, 20 forecast. Yeah, exactly.
Just like eyeing it like a hawk. And it wasn't looking great, but you know, it was just like rainy. I was like, I mean, it's rain. Like I remember too, like it's getting a little closer. Maybe we were like a week out, and I was going to the store, getting like everything I could to like waterproof. I was getting like, there's like shoe spray that you can get that like helps waterproof your shoes. I didn't even know. I was just like, give me anything that, you know, I'm going to be prepared for a rainy marathon. Like, not the end of the world, but there are things, you know, you can do to try to help your way through. So I remember I ordered like a thing that like you can go underwater with your phone. So I got that because I knew I'd need my phone with me. I got everything. I was all prepared. I was good. Like I got headphones that were waterproof, everything. And then it was the Friday before the Sunday race, and they put out the announcement that they were going to cancel the race for safety. It was just a massive storm that was coming through, and you know, they were obviously super upset about it. And, you know, nobody wants to cancel a race, but if you're going to put safety first, right? And, you know, ultimately it was probably the best choice for them. But, you know, since it was kind of a smaller, more like local race, it was, you know, Facebook page. Mostly everything was communicated via the Facebook page. And so a bunch of folks were on there and just writing on the page were like, hey, like, I know the actual sanctioned event is canceled, but like we all work to get here. Like, y'all want to run the race still? Like, I think we can make it work. And even the people that put it on were like, that's like a great idea. You know, we're not going to be able to do any of the start line or, you know, anything like that.
Right.
But like, we'll be there physically at the hotel or, you know, wherever they staying and have the medals and the, you know, you can like submit your time and, you know, the t-shirts and all of that stuff. Like we'll be there for that. And so everyone was like, okay. And so anybody that wanted to still showed up, but the day before, so Saturday rather than Sunday, because the weather was looking okay. And so, you know, it was kind of just a whenever you want to start. Some people, you know, maybe they want to start earlier than the original start time, or some people want to start later, you know, whatever it was. And so, like I said, before we started, I pretty much went on a 26.2 mile run just by myself. I remember just my fiance, he was just standing there. He was actually supposed to run the half marathon for that. And so he was going to do that too. And I remember just having my watch and was like, okay, like, bye.
Time to go.
And just, I was just, off I went on a run. And so he did the same. He was going to, you know, run his own pace, run his own race, quote unquote race. He did the same thing. You know, he obviously finished way before I did. So he would look at my location and try to follow me around the island and where I was at. And man, that was probably the hardest thing I've ever done. I mean, not only are you putting your body through that physical, just crazy physical challenge of the whole marathon, but I didn't realize until that race how mental the marathon was because there was no crowd support. There was no cheering, no, you know, music. You know, I had my own headphones, but, you know, you're in a race and there's randomly like a band or something, or like blaring speakers with a great song on. And you're just like, oh, cool.
Gets you going a little for sure.
Yeah. Just someone, I mean, people just handing stuff out or just like, oh, like candy, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just, it's the race experience. That's,
It's, you know, a big part of it.
Yeah. Arguably like a huge reason why people do races, you know?
Totally.
And, you know, I met this one girl that was running it too, but she had started like a little bit before me, so we were at like different miles. I know I kind of went like off course too, because I missed a turn, and so like everyone was just, it was, again, I literally just went for a 26.2 mile run, like whenever my watch said I was done, that was the end of the race. You know, I tried to line it up, so it was kind of where we started, and it, you know, it was what it was. But I mean, I remember specifically at like mile 22 or 23, and I told Garrett, my fiance, to meet me at this like intersection or whatever, like I'm running out of water, you know, there's no water stations. There was actually a couple local run groups that like came out and set up little tables, or like opened the trunk of their car and like had little cups for us. It was very kind of them to do that. So that was awesome. But yeah, so he came and he, you know, opened up my pack and filled up water, and I just started crying, and I was like, this is so hard. I just was like, oh, I think the mental just took over, and I was just like, 3 miles, like 3 more miles. Like, I just, and it was just kind of like this straight shot rest of a trail, like right along the beach. It was beautiful. And I just was in so much pain. You know, I remember almost being there too, and I had like the worst side stitch, and it was not only physically one of the hardest things I've ever done, but mentally, I 0 out of 10 would not recommend. I mean, unless you're trying to build that mental toughness, that was not fun. It was not fun. However, I mean, finishing and then just looking back and being like, man, I did that. It was probably, you know, to this day, one of the proudest moments that I've been of myself ever. You know, I mean, I put myself and my mind through that whole race, and ultimately that is my PR. I mean, I did technically have a comeback from my first one
by about 3 minutes,
so that was awesome. I got a little closer to what I wanted as far as the time, but I after that too, I was like, man, I can't believe we just had like 2 bad races in a row.
Sure.
I was like, I don't have really best luck with the full marathon.
Can I just have a normal marathon, please?
Yeah. And you know what's funny? It's not funny. But even the third one, it was also not brutal. That was Nicole's first full. It was the Pittsburgh full marathon, and it poured rain for like 23 miles. Like,
my gosh.
And I was like, you know what? Maybe it's me.
Maybe I'm bringing this weather.
Yeah. It's like, gosh, I don't know if I should keep doing these, because, but nonetheless, I had 2 more after that. So.
Yeah.
Gosh. But yeah. So yeah, not the funnest, but it's fun to tell the story.
Yeah, it's a great story. I mean, like, I just can't, I'm trying to put myself in those shoes. Like, I don't know if I wasn't, like, it's an accountability test, really. Yeah. I don't know if a race wasn't holding me to it, or if, like, something a little bit more organized was holding me to it, if I could do that. So, like, that just alone is impressive. You could have dipped out at any point and said, the race was canceled, so who cares? Like, I'm one of, like, I mean, how many people would you say actually finished it? Do you know?
I have no idea. We were just all scattered. Again, some people started like 2 hours before me, and some people started like 2 hours after me. I have no idea, like not a single clue. I just, you know, I showed up after walked to wherever they were at, like the ballroom of a hotel, and you just told them, you know, like, this was my registration. I just ran it.
I did
and
it.
So they gave you like the medal. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, congrats. I have no idea. And then just went and laid on the beach and was like, what just happened?
Yeah. Man. So like, how, I don't mean this to sound like a pointed question, but like, how anticlimactic did that feel to just be like, at the end, beep, done. And then you were
literally.
It is.
Yes. I mean, at that point, again, I mean, I think it was like the lack of the aid stations and just, you didn't really have enough time to plan for it either. Like I had my hydration pack, but like, I feel like personally, I rely on like the electrolytes that they hand out because I only put water in my pack. And so I had whatever I was doing, like goos or whatever, but I don't think I was getting like enough electrolytes in general. And so at the end, I was like, my side, I was like barely able to go forward. I was like shuffling and I was just like, beep, you know, 0.1, 0.2 beep, like done. Like,
yeah,
I sat down on the curb. Like these people were around, had no idea. I just ran a full marathon.
Yeah.
And Garrett's just like, do you need anything? And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know.
All I want is food and to not move and probably electrolytes or something because I'm cramping everywhere. And yeah, it was quite literally anticlimactic. But I mean, at the same time, like overpowering emotions, like almost more than a regular race. Like I get pretty emotional at the end, at finish lines.
Yeah.
But because of how much mental strength I was using, I think I was crying. Like just sitting there crying. Like I couldn't process my emotions.
Right.
It was just, you know, I mean, per most finish lines, like for a lot of people, I mean, it's just overpowering. But I think I used too much, and it was just a little out of whack at that point. So I was all over the place. But yeah, you know, got my medal right over there, it's hanging up.
Yeah, that's good that you at least gave you a medal at the end. Like I don't, I'll do a lot for a medal. That's like right at my limit. But if I didn't get a medal at the end of that, I'd be like, what am I doing here?
Not worth it at that point.
Right. Yeah. Crazy second marathon experience. So like once you had some time to reflect on it, maybe the week or a couple weeks after, were you happy that you ended up doing it? Like, did you feel like a different person on the other side of it or anything like that when you had some time to reflect?
You know, yeah, I think I would have been like pretty hard on myself for, you know, a while after if I just decided like, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, even though like you went through in a whole training block like that. I mean,
right.
All of us who have ran a full marathon know how much time and just miles and food that you go through and just changing your schedule around and changing your sleep schedule around. I mean, it's not easy. That the training for the marathon is the hard part.
Yeah.
And I had already done that. So I ultimately am extremely happy that I decided to. I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I pushed started my watch and went, but yeah, you know, I think I think I said it before we started, but you know, if you want to work on mental toughness, I recommend trying that out. But besides that, I don't recommend.
Right.
But yeah. Really glad that I decided to do that. And then, you know, that was in January and we were already signed up for the Pittsburgh Marathon, which was in May. So not a lot of time in between there.
Right.
But I'm just glad I, you know, checked it off and just, you know, something that not a lot of people can say that they did. I mean, a race getting canceled on them and doing it anyways.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, maybe the people like through COVID, I've talked to somebody who like a couple people who had races that right before COVID that would get canceled. But even then, like, I don't know if anybody actually ended up running the race without the race. So I think that's a really unique experience for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. Sure. So I know you said the next one was also really rainy. Like, what was your first marathon where you finally got to have like a real race day where nothing happened? Too crazy. Something always happens. But what was the first race where you were like, okay, finally?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So number four was the Miami Marathon, which was also a January race, which was good. It was still pretty hot. Now, if you ask Nicole the same question about the Miami Marathon, we have very different answers. She did not have a good race. It was just again, one of those that, you know, stuff happens. Stuff happens to one person that it doesn't happen to another. And it was pretty hot. You know, it's Miami. It never gets very cool. But right. Yeah, you know, again, with Beloved running and, you know, being with Nicole and having such a difference in what paces are comfortable and what paces are challenging between the two of us, I was okay. I felt fine. That for me is pumping the brakes going at her pace or being her pack mule. So I wasn't expelling so much energy into something where it's like, I'm racing or I'm trying to get this time, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It just feels a lot more relaxed for me at that pace. And so I think, I mean, ultimately that's the difference in what happened for us. So for her, I think it was the heat just got to her. It kind of started going downhill at some of the teens. You go out on this bridge that's just, it's completely sun. And at this point, you know, we're below average running, we're slow. We've been running for like a few hours. And so it's like the middle of the day now. Like the sun is beaming, you know?
Yeah.
And she took a turn for the worse there. And what really was the kicker was by mile 20, there was this like iconic clip of her sitting on the ground and I'm like squatting, trying to like feed her water from my pack, like anything. And she's trying to get anything down. Unfortunately for her, she does a lot of vomiting when things don't go well during races. So she was trying to get something in and keep it in because, I mean, doing the opposite during a full marathon is not the best.
Not fun. Yeah. You
know? It's a lot of take in everything you can. And so again, I mean, ultimately, like overall, I had a great time at that race. Or, you know, it was just a good crowd support. It was beautiful outside. It was fun to be going all throughout Miami, downtown Miami, all the different parts of it. You know, at the very beginning, you ran like by the cruise ships and stuff. So it was cool. You know, another one of those, like, I don't come to like this part of Miami often. And so just getting to see different parts of the city and all that. And, you know, ultimately up until I think it was like 16, we had a great time. All of us did. There's Lauren too, Nicole's cousin. We call us the 26.2 crew.
Oh, okay.
We go by. So yeah, me and Lauren were okay. And by 20, you know, again, being there pretty much solely for Nicole, we were prepared to do anything. Like, she's sitting on the ground, like, whatever it takes, like, we will stay here or whatever. And at that point, you know, you're a 10K away. And Nicole's like, no, like, you guys trained for this. Like, you paid the registration, you put in the time and the effort. And so go, like, I'll be fine. You know, her mom was there. My fiance was there. You know, her dad was there. All huge crowd support just for her. And we were like, no, like, we're going to stay here. This is for us. And she's like, no, like, I will get mad if you don't go. So we finally were like, okay, like, we'll go finish the race, reconvene, like, we'll figure it out. So Lauren and I just took off. We a little too fast, but we were like, I can't wait to be done. Like, at this point, you know, I think that race, that was a pretty long race with those stops and pauses and everything.
Man,
I'd have to look, but it was darn near 7 hours, I think, by the time Nicole came through. And so it was definitely over like six for Lauren and I. And, you know, that's a long time on your feet in the sun. So we were just like booking it. We were like, let's get to the finish line, see if we can either get back to her, figure out how to get her across the line and still finish and not, you know, have to DNF or anything. And so, you know, we finished and tried to get a hold of everyone. And, you know, it ended up working out. She was able to get up and, like, barely just make it. She, you know, with all the people that she had with her on her team and just by her side, was able to get her on our way towards the finish line. And Lauren and I, you know, once you stop, it's really hard to keep going.
It's hard to get back.
I didn't realize. I mean, obviously, like, you just ran 26.2 miles, like, that's far, but in my head, I was like, you know, fight or flight. I'm, like, thinking I'm going to finish and then, like, loop back for her, but, you know, I stopped for a little too long and was like, I don't think I can actually move. So we, like, hung out on the barricades, just, like, trying to figure out, like, watching, like, find my friends, like, where everyone was. And we're like, she's getting close. Like, I think she's gonna be able to make it. And I'm on the phone with her friend Manuela. She's like, she's gonna come. And Manuela's like running towards us. And so I talked to somebody, you know, she was like, I'd have to look back, but I think she was like the third to last person to finish that race, which is, it's a pretty big race. So it's pretty impressive. She came in almost last. And, you know, I was like, come on, like, please, like, can you just let us back in just this corral, like, just to finish with her? Like, look, we already finished. We're not trying to finish again. Like,
yeah,
I was just like doing everything I could. And this poor guy, like, he's just working here. You know, you're not supposed to let us back in. And he was like, okay, like, as long as you leave your medals here, like, whatever, like, and I'm gonna watch, whatever. I was like, that's fine. Like, we just want to, like,
whatever,
come in
said
with her. Like, we literally, like, we're not trying to do anything. Like, we just want to finish with her. And so we were able to get that last, like, finish shot. We, like, held up the below average running flag behind her to, like, bring her in for her finish. So it was just, you know, we did get to finish together, which was good. But ultimately, you know, all said and done, I had a good time. It was
all things
fun.
Considered, for sure.
Yeah, all things considered. Obviously, again, if you ask Nicole, whenever she decides to come on, like, her story about the Miami Marathon will be far different. But
I'll put the clips next to each other. We'll compare the stories.
He always gets mad about it. I'm like, you know, I mean, I would do it again. She was like, I will never do that ever again. I'll never do that race again. I was like, I had a great time. Like, so ultimately, yeah, that was probably my one and, you know, ultimately probably only good experience thus far, considering the one after that was
another one. Well, what was the next one? Was it weather again, or?
No, the next one was the Dallas Marathon, and, you know, we had a whole bunch of the bar crew there. It was awesome to, like, see everybody, some of them for, like, the first time ever in person. And again, 26.2 crew, we were ready to run it, and everything was great. I mean, the weather was awesome. It was freezing at the beginning, and our outfits were not prepared for that. And like these kind of tank tops and like shorts, and it was literally freezing. Thankfully, we had some jackets that we were like, we could just keep these on and then toss them to Bill or something later. But ultimately, you know, I just had something like some knee troubles. I jumped into training a little too hard. Like, it just did the thing where I'm like, it's like, it's only 12 miles. Like, I just gonna knock that one out. And I just hadn't really run much prior. And I don't know what I was thinking. I was just being dumb. And it was that run was great. But ever since then, I was like, I did something to my knee. And so I just took it like very, very, very slow, as in like just not a lot of training. I just did what I needed to keep some mileage, but like ultimately I essentially towed that start line, not trained for a marathon, you know. It just stupid idea, don't recommend. And you know, that showed through that race. It was, everything was good. Like, it was a great race itself. The weather was awesome. Like, it slowly warmed up a little, but still like cool. So it's like,
yeah, that's perfect.
Or anything, awesome crowd support, you know, the whole bar crew was there. Bill, one of our bar ambassadors, was just everywhere. He would just like hop in an Uber and be like everywhere, and we're like, there's Bill again. And we're like, how many miles till Bill, you know, he's the one keeping us through this race. And so like, it was fine. It just, you know, I remember it somewhere in the teens. It's always like 16 that does it to you. And it just, I was like, I'm in so much pain. Like, my muscles in my legs, like, they just weren't used to being on them for that long.
Yeah.
I just, I mean, that's another learning moment for sure, where it's like you don't realize like really how much training actually does, like not even just endurance, but you're building muscle like crazy. Right. And it just, I didn't have it, and it was just my glutes and all of my legs, I just remembered every step. I was like, this is so painful.
Like, yeah,
ultimately though, it was, I mean, it was a great race. It was very fun. Everything was great. I was just, another learning moment. Don't ever do that.
Yeah. It's so funny that we could, like, as runners can go, yeah, I was in so much pain, everything hurt, but yeah, it was great. It was fun. I'm going to sign up for another one. It's already on the calendar.
Yep. Exactly. So,
yep.
But yeah, so that was the last one. That was number 5. So
cool.
Not the best luck, but one of these days I'll do it right.
There we go. Love it. But you've had so many, like, these stories are so unique. I know that they probably haven't worked out the way that you would love them to, obviously, but like, you, I'm sure you've been able to take something different from every single race. And I think that that's really cool.
Yes.
One day all the cards are going to align and you're going to run the race of your life. And I'm excited to see that happen.
Me too.
And one thing I wanted to just like get back to just quickly is like, a 7-hour marathon is not obviously ideal for most of us, but that's so long on your feet. And I think that's something that people need who are maybe a little bit quicker, are talking about how much effort it's taking them to cross the finish line in like a sub-3 or something like that. But you don't always talk about how difficult it is to cross the finish line at 7 hours. That's a lot of time on your feet. And like you said, even if it's, you're out in the sun, in the weather, like that, I won't say one's harder than the other, but it's definitely up there for sure.
Absolutely. And someone that's, you know, I'm not speedy by any sense of the word, but, you know, coming from kind of both spectrums, you know, like my PR being like a 4:30 marathon.
Yeah.
But then pivoting to being with the 26.2 crew and running, you know, we've been around 6 hours and up to, you know, around 7 hours. Like, those are, you know, they're two different things, but
totally,
like you said, like, yeah, no one really can say one's harder than the other, you know, whatever. It's, everyone's still running a full marathon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just something that people just don't think about is that's the time, I mean, not even just the race, the training too.
Yeah.
I mean, your training runs are so much longer than somebody else's. If you're going by miles, some people do, you know, by time, but
yeah,
I mean, you have to also take that into consideration. If you're like, I'm gonna be on my feet for 6 to 7 hours, so I need to run for longer periods of time than maybe just 2 or 3 hours, because that's half the race. That's only half the race. And so, yeah, I mean, it was definitely eye-opening at that first one with Nicole in Pittsburgh. Not only just the rain, that was just, you know, our feet were raw at that point, but
sure.
I just kind of remember being like, wow, I didn't really take this into consideration because it was so close to my canceled race. It was just those 5 months that I was kind of just training at my pace. And so yeah, the time thing, I definitely wasn't on my feet. I had never been on my feet. Well, running on my feet for that long ever in my in my life, because I was running more like my paces for a 4:30 marathon.
Right.
And then a couple months later, I'm like, we're hitting like 20 miles. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever ran for this long of a time period ever in my, because how would I, you know?
Right.
You know, so it's a totally different feeling, a totally, totally different. And yeah, I mean, it's a great thing to bring up how it's not just, oh, it's so easy because you're basically like walking, you know, people like to mock slow people by saying that, it's, you know, whatever.
You walk for 7 hours.
Yeah.
See how that feels.
But yeah, I mean, it's a whole different thing. It's all a marathon. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for running through your 5 marathon experiences. That was, like I said, all of them are a little bit unique. So appreciated you kind of breaking down everything. That was awesome. A few just closing questions that I like to ask at the end. I always give the disclaimer, like we've talked about quite a bit, that, you know, it's your journey, do what's best for you. Trial and error is going to be your best friend with a lot of this stuff. But for you, in terms of like fueling and gels and things like that, what are your go-tos? What brands do you like?
Ooh, that's a great question. I know for starting out and, you know, still now, I'm a pretty good follower of just the Goo brand. Mm-hmm. I know it's not everyone's favorite. They're pretty thick and everything. But I started out with them and never really had issues with them. And so I stuck with those for a while. I like the like Roctane ones of those or the ones with some caffeine in them. It's been a couple of years ago. They put out a liquid Goo with the Goo brand. And I started using those, and those are like way better because of the texture thing. And yeah. it's just like liquid. And I think it's either the lime or the orange one or whatever. It has some caffeine in it. Not like a crazy amount, but you can definitely feel it helping too. And they're just way easier to get down. It just feels like you're taking like an electrolyte drink or something. And so I've been really into the liquid Goos. I do like Cliff Block sometimes. I don't love like having to chew something. And so any like an actual Goo or liquid has been okay for me. I got into at like full marathons having somebody, you know, carry it for me and then saying like, oh, at, you know, if I'm going to see you at mile 13 or whatever, just like actual fruit, like an orange or something. Yeah. That's been awesome. And like bread, like actual food.
Yeah.
Sounds funny, but like specifically on races when like, again, somebody else can hold it and then give it to you. It's just been like, man, actual food and carbs and this real energy that your body actually needs. Like it just sits a lot better. I've found, especially during races when there's just a lot of other things going on. Obviously like just on a training run, it's not as easy to bring that stuff with, but I'm not super picky. If there's something there and like I need something or like, man, I don't have fuel right now, and you know they're handing out the like race day ones, like I'll usually try them, so
see what happens.
But yeah, I've really been into the liquid Goo recently.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean the two, like for the bananas, the fruit, the whole foods, like that's what the ultra community is doing for the most part, so
totally.
I think it's cool to experiment with for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. And then shoes. What do you like for shoes? What did you like? How did that progress over time? If you changed brands, like brands, don't like brands, what do you like for shoes?
Yeah. This is I get bullied. Not actually, but people make fun of me.
It was a hot debate.
A lot. Yeah. Definitely. I have been pretty much tried and true to Nike Pegasus forever.
Okay.
They have never done me wrong. And at one point, I had the same like make and model of the Nike Pegasus 32s, which are like old. I think I had 8 of them. Every different color that you could find. And I find like they have been so discontinued for so long that I was like, okay, I have to move on, like at least to like the next number of the Nike Pegasus, you know. And so I eventually did. But it's still a Nike Pegasus. And I literally have tried all of the, you know, the Brooks and the Asics and it doesn't work for me. I don't know what it is. I try them. I don't like them. I don't know if I don't give them enough time, but, you know, I found what I like and, you know, nothing's going wrong with it. I don't see a need to really change if it's working fine for me. So
definitely.
Yeah. I've just stuck with it. And, speaking of, I need some new shoes, but you know, I'm in that period of kind of chilling right now. So looking forward to finding my new Nike Pegasus.
Do you train and race in Nike Pegasus? You have just,
I do. I usually have like 2 pairs, you know, just trying to keep them in a rotation. You know, I have actually tried, Natalie, one of our other bar ambassadors, she's sent me a couple of shoes that didn't work for her. Thankfully we're the same size. And so I've had Hokas for a little while. I don't hate them. That's for sure. I don't know if I'd ever buy them myself. I'll use those for, you know, different runs and giving some shoes a couple of mile breaks, you know.
Yeah.
And I think she sent me some Asics too. I've ran in those again when they're free too. If someone's just sending them, she's just like, not? I don't wear these here. it's at least a little different. So I'm not like, well, I kind of have to decide like if I can return these situation and yeah. I don't want to be stuck with these, you know, $100, $200 pair of shoes if I don't yeah. like them. I'm not going to race in them or something. And so, yeah, it's been okay. I don't hate either of those, but I'm going to always buy my Nike Pegasus until something, and until I find something else, if I find something else.
Yeah. Hey, whatever works for you. Everybody's a little bit different. So
yeah.
I think if you find something you like, stick with it. I know some people will like their favorite style and brand of shoe will come out with a new version and then they'll absolutely hate it and just be buying yeah. the old model until it's like discontinued. So
totally. That was me totally to a T. So
yeah,
here's to hoping I like the future of Nike Pegasus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. Well, I know it's wedding year for you, so you're taking some time off, but what's coming up next for you? What's the next race that you're planning on training for?
Yeah, I guess next would be Space Coast in November. It's the weekend of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like Nicole and Travis and I will be together again. We were in Savannah, did that fast 5K. That was the last time we were all hanging out. And so that little crew will probably get back together for that. It's a half marathon. I haven't ran a half marathon in a long time, like a sanctioned half marathon.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. Cool. Nicole has been running it for years and years, and there's been like this Journey to Mars situation. So if you run it like 4 years in a row or something, you get like this super massive medal. So
I think that's
this year for her. So she's really pumped about that. So yeah, probably that. I know we're just going to kind of like fun run it, you know, not take it too seriously. You know,
we
did that at the 5K, wasn't a fan. So we're just going to hang out. And then Dallas is in December. We've been in the talks about what exactly we're going to do. Actually was potentially going to run the full, but I think we're past that. Still 2024, so I might just
do the half.
So either the half marathon or the relay for Dallas. Mm. They've got two different ones. You can do like a two-person half marathon relay or like a five-person full marathon relay.
Cool.
So yeah, that's been brought up a couple of times. We have to decide soon. So yeah, those will be my fall races, and then 2025, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm back to a full marathon. Maybe it's my actual redemption. I don't know. Oh my gosh, I also am running the Las Vegas half marathon. I actually won an Instagram contest and race entries into that. I was like,
that's
this never
so
happened.
Cool.
Like, I
yeah.
haven't won anything online before. And so Lindsay, the same one that like my college roommate, my first
yeah.
marathon. She lives in Las Vegas, so I was like, hey, like, want to run this with me? I'm going to come stay with you. So
yeah,
forgot about that one. Yeah, that's in November. So I guess two halves in November. So that'll be, got to get back to it
yeah.
after the summer.
After wedding and everything.
Yeah,
yeah,
after wedding. Wedding's in July. And then I'll be like, all right, open to anything.
Yeah.
Know? So yeah. Oh my gosh, cool. I can't believe I forgot about that. That was hilarious that I won that.
Yeah, that's great. I haven't won. I always assume like when I put my name into these things, I'm not going to win. So like, it's cool
yeah.
that you actually.
Like, I know. It was one of those, you know, comment, like tag as many people
oh,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Like every time
Even
you tag
crazier.
Someone, I was going nuts. I was tagging every person. I was just like, I don't know, why not?
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I don't know. I just did it. And I remember I was like driving back from something and I heard my phone ding a couple times. I was like, I don't know. Was texting me a couple of times, and I got back, and it was Lindsay, and she was screenshotted that they shared that I won, and I was like,
"So cool!
What? Like, this is so awesome!" So
that's awesome.
Just so, yeah, that was very a fun surprise. So
yeah,
good to go over there and do that. She mentioned trying to do that speedier. So
we'll see.
I don't know.
Cool. Well, cool. Well, you've got lots coming up. It's all later in the year, so you'll have some time
yeah.
to yourself to get married and then to enjoy it and then back to training. I'm excited to see how everything turns out for you. That's awesome.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely a little silent on social media right now. I'm just like
taking your time.
Yeah, I just, my Instagram's a little lonely. Nicole will probably get, like, you gotta be posting if people think that you're hosting this run club and stuff. So.
Right.
Yeah, but soon enough, we'll be back.
Cool. Well, if anyone wants to follow along with you for future posts and future races, where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm at Marathon Ellie on Instagram. And yeah, and you know, we put anything for our Bar Run Clubs on at Bar Run Club. And then, you know, Below Average Running itself is its own thing. But if you're in the Savannah area, come on over to Savannah Bar Run Club. We get together once a month right now, typically on Saturday mornings. We're looking to amp that up again post-wedding. So follow along. If you follow Marathon Alley, Below Average Running, or Bar Run Club, you can usually find out any of the dates for all of that right on there. And then just reach out to me if you have any questions. And if you're in any of the areas for other Bar Run Clubs, definitely check it out. We love to grow our community.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'll put your Instagram in the show notes. And if you're cool with it, I could put the Bar Run Club in the show notes as well. Yeah. So everyone can follow along there. But
that's awesome for sure.
Thank you again for coming on and walking through your story. Really enjoyed talking to you. And I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was really awesome to kind of run through the years and everything that has happened to me, just through marathons and getting into running and everything. It was really fun to do that. Thanks so much for having me.